today's prayer call, I pray, lifts up your faith. My goal today, or I feel more than my goal, the goal of the Holy Spirit today is to strengthen your faith. Sometimes it's so easy for us to get caught up in this mentality that we shouldn't bother God. I think that happens to us with people, but it tends to happen to us even with God. You know, we tend to say, no, you know what? I've been asking for that for a long time, so I'm just going to give up asking, or I've already asked God for this, so I'm just gonna say, never mind. And it probably just isn't going to happen for me. And when things don't happen, instead of developing patience, as the Word of God tells us to, we instead develop discouragement. And when we go through processes in our lives, we sometimes misinterpret those processes. And while God is trying to take us through development of our character, instead, we take it as a blow to our faith. And soon we start throwing things out and not believing in them. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but there have been things that I've asked God for. And if I don't receive them right away, I just assume that maybe they're for other people and they're not for me. Or sometimes I don't even ask him in the first place because I kind of assume, yeah, of course that person received it, but I'm not going to be able to receive it, because look at everything I've done, or look at my track record, or look at this, or look at that. And I want to just remind you guys today, I feel like the Holy Spirit sent me to remind you that you are a daughter of God. And as I was formulating this message, part of this message is what I shared this weekend when I was sharing in a conference in Colombia. And the Lord brought an image to my mind. He brought an image of my son in my kitchen. And I felt the Holy Spirit ask me, what if your son was in your kitchen hungry? And when you got down there to see what he was doing, he said, yeah, mom, I'm hungry, but you fed me yesterday. It's okay. You don't have to feed me today. How would you feel? Would you feel pleased? Would you feel proud? And I said, no, Lord, I'd feel horrible. I'd feel sad. Or at the very least, I'd be like, you're silly, little boy. Of course, I'm going to fix you something to eat, because I don't just provide for you one time out of pity. I provide for you constantly out of love. And that's what I want you guys to understand about God, that when we understand that we are not God's slaves, we are not God's employees, we are not God's workers, we are God's children, then we begin to understand that he doesn't provide for us once in a while out of pity. He provides for us constantly, or he wants to provide for us constantly out of love. And usually the ones that block that provision are us ourselves. Usually the biggest hindrance to you getting a blessing is you yourself. The Bible says in James 1:4, it says, you do not have because you do not ask. There are so many things that have not come to our lives simply because we haven't been able to ask. There are so many things that have not come to our lives because before we ask them, we're already assuming that we're not good enough to receive it. We're already assuming that God doesn't want to give it to us. Imagine, once again, if we were like that with our parents. I mean, we might be like that with our parents now because we're older, but that's the beauty of a child. And the Word of God even tells us that we need to be more like children, because when my son comes to me, when my daughters come to me, they're not evaluating whether or not they deserve McDonald's. They're not evaluating whether or not they deserve to have ice cream before their dinner. They're simply asking, and they believe in me enough. They're still young, right? And I hope they keep that forever. But they believe in me enough to say, my mom is going to answer, not out of anger, not out of hatred, not out of rejection. She's going to answer out of what is best for me. And that is what many of us have lost. We love to sit in sermons, and we love to sit in preachings and hear, God loves you. You are a child of God. You are a daughter of God. And we love to repeat it, and we love to put it as screensavers on our phone, but we often don't live that way. And because we don't live that way, and because we don't truly believe it, and we're not truly convicted of it, we often don't pray that way. It is such an important part of prayer, simply to understand who you are in Christ, simply to understand that the Bible calls us co-heirs with Christ. What that means is that everything that Christ stands to inherit from his Father, we also have access to. That means you have access to healing, not just one healing one time because it was an accident, because God, again, had pity on you. He felt bad for you. That's how we treat our bosses, right? That's how, you know, the Bible makes very clear, the Word of God makes very clear that there's a huge difference between the spirit of slaves and the spirit of sons. The spirit of slave says I have to work, 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 so that every once in a while my boss can take notice of me and throw me a bone. But the spirit of son says my father is always looking out for me and he's providing for me out of love. And often we see God as this boss in the sky, right? If I have a really good group and if I don't sin and if I stop doing this and if I start doing this, then maybe, just maybe, just maybe I'll be good enough to be able to pray some prayers. But young woman, I want you to let go of that today. And I want to remind you that you have access to your father. And I want to use the story of this woman, the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings 4, and how she reacted to a prophet literally offering her a miracle. Her identity in the Lord was so shaky. Her identity in the Lord was so uncertain that even when she was offered a miracle, her low self-esteem and her lack of identity and her lack of self-worth did not allow her to take them. But over the course of this chapter, we see her faith begin to transform. And so I want to give you guys today three marks of a woman who doesn't know her identity in Christ. And I give them to you hoping that wherever you are, you write them down or you make a mental note. And if you identify with one of these, then my prayer for you is that you make those your prayer points this week, that you begin to say, Lord, work on this area in me. Lord, show me the truth. Lord, change this around. Because it's only when you move past these things that you're going to be able to ask for greater things. And like I said, there are things we don't have because we don't ask. And we don't ask them because we don't even realize that some of us subconsciously are thwarting our own miracles. We are impeding our own blessings because of our lack of self-worth and identity. This is a woman in the Old Testament that believed that God could. She just didn't believe that God would for her. And how many times is that so true for us that we're like, I know God can heal, or I believe God can heal. I believe God can do great things. I believe God is healer. I believe that he's a way maker, you know, way maker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. I believe that it's true. But when it comes to me, I don't know if he's going to do it. So listen to what the word of God says. 2 Kings 4, starting in verse 8, it says, now there came a day when Elisha went over to Shunem, and there was a prominent and influential woman. And I want to take a minute there because I want to remind you that it does not matter how prominent and influential or important you are in the eyes of man. If you can't believe that you are just as prominent and just as influential in the eyes of God, then you will still have a low image of yourself. I love that the Bible itself says this woman is prominent and influential. In the Spanish translation, it says she was an important woman. And a lot of us are important. And other people see us as important, and other people look at us and maybe even envy our lives and say, oh my gosh, but you're so talented. You're so good at this. You're such a great businesswoman. If only, you have such talent. If you actually tried to put that on YouTube, or if you actually tried to do something with that, then you would become so prominent and influential. But she didn't see herself that way. But it says that she persuaded him to eat a meal. And afterward, whenever he passed by, he stopped there for a meal. And the word of God even tells us that she tells her husband, let's prepare a room for him. So let's put a bed there for him with a table and a chair and a lampstand. And then whenever he comes to visit us, he can have a place to rest. And verse 11 says, one day he came there and he turned into the upper room to lay down to rest. And he said to his servant, call the Shunammite woman. So he called her and she stood before him. And now he said to his servant, say to her now, you have gone through all this trouble for us. What can I do for you? What would you like your name to be mentioned to the king or the captain of the army? And she answered to him, I live among my own people and I have enough. Verse 14, it says, later Elisha said, what then can be done for you? And his servant answered, well, she has no son and her husband is old. So he said, call her. He called her and she came and stood in the doorway. And he said, by this season next year, you will embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, O man of God, do not lie to me. I like it even better in the Spanish. It says, don't make fun of me. In the Spanish version, it says, no te burles de tu sierva, or don't make fun of me. She took this as a literal joke, because sometimes when you don't know who you are in Christ, even the promises of God seem hurtful. I remember when I was going through a crisis in my faith, there was a moment where every time I saw a woman holding a baby, because I was going through these issues that I was going through, with infertility. Every time I saw a woman holding a baby, every time I saw a woman, you know, say, I got pregnant, I'm so happy, I would take it almost as a slap in the face, because I wasn't understanding that the process I was going through was for my development, not through my rejection. And that's one thing that I want you to understand. If you're going through a process of faith in this moment, if God is asking you to wait, if God is taking a little bit longer to provide for your healing, provide for, you know, what you've been asking him for, it is not out of rejection. It is out of process. And sooner or later, the word of God tells us that all of his promises are yes, yes, and amen, amen. And it will come to pass. But it says that she says, no, 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 don't lie to me. But the woman conceived and gave birth to a son at that season the next year, just as the prophet had said to her. Three things we see in this story that we may be able to identify with of this woman who did not have her identity clear. The first is that when you don't have your identity clear, first is that when you do not have your identity clear, you're able to work for God, but you're not able to believe in God. This woman was able to work for God, but she wasn't able to believe in God. We see that she set up this whole room for the prophet. She had a place for him to lie down. She had a place for him to rest. It wasn't that she didn't believe that God could do it. It's that she didn't believe that God would do it for her. She had everything going. And how many of us, we can be the best servant leaders. We can be the best cell group leaders. We can volunteer in church like nobody else. But what we don't realize, we probably realize it unconsciously or subconsciously, but what we don't realize consciously is what we're trying to do is we're trying to earn God's favor and earn God's grace. And what God wants to show you today is that you already have God's favor and grace. You don't have to work for it. It's so sad that this woman was able to serve with such honor and excellence. Yet when the prophet himself asked, what do you want God to do for you? Do you want a miracle? Do you want something? Her response was, no, 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 I don't need anything. Don't worry about me. And some of us, we do that. And we think that by doing that, we're being more holy. We think that by doing that, we're being more spiritual. Wow, look at me. I don't ask God for anything. When in reality, God is saying, I want to bless you. The word of God says that when she says to the prophet, no, 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 I don't need anything. It says that the prophet insisted, what can I do for you? And the prophet in this chapter represents the Spirit of God. Often the Spirit of God is knocking on your heart and saying, I want to give you more. The Word of God even tells us that inspiration is born of the Spirit. So sometimes you're inspired to open a business. You're inspired to do something great. You're inspired to write a book. You're inspired to write a worship song, but you yourself shut it down because you're able to work for God. You're able to believe that God can do it, but you're not able to believe that through his goodness, he will do it for you. And that's something that comes with a lack of identity. That's something that comes when you are okay seeing yourself as a slave, but you're not okay seeing yourself as a child of God. Children, they work for their parents and they can serve their parents and they can serve the family business, but they understand that their favor and their grace does not come from what they work and what they serve. In functional families, right? Because some of us have dysfunctional families, but the way that it should be that you understand that your worth comes from who you are in that family and that your parents love you not because of what you do, but because of who you are. And not all of us have a great marker of that, because the word of God even says this is you who are bad. You know, humanity does not have a great streak of being great parents. But so, you know, some of us, we might be here, you might be hearing this, you might be like, it is not like that in my family. But I'm here to tell you that it is like that in God's family and in the family of God. The second thing we see in this woman's story is that she conforms, she settles. It says that when he asked her, what can we do for you? You know, she could have asked for anything. He could have gone to the king and spoken on her behalf. And she says, no, no, it's okay. I live like a queen among my people. What she was trying to say is, I'm going to conform. I'm going to settle for what I can get myself. Why? Because she was scared of asking for anything more. So low was her opinion of herself. So injured was her self-worth and her identity in Christ. or her identity and who she was in the Lord, or her ability to believe that he could do good things for her, that she said, no, you know what? I'm going to settle instead for what I can get on my own. I live like a queen among my people. Whatever I can get on my own, that's what I'm going to settle for. And how many of us, when we're going through a difficult crisis, when we're going through a difficult season, or we're going through a crisis, or we're going through something that's hard for us, the first thing we do is make all the plans in our head of how we're going to fix it ourselves. I know I'm one of those, that the second that I need provision, sometimes before I pray, I've gotten better, but my natural, you know, our natural instinct in the flesh is before I pray, let me do all my numbers again and see how many times I can ask my boss for a raise, or how many things I can do over here, or what I can sell, or what I can do before we ask God. How many of us, we're going through an issue with our marriage and we go through every therapist in the book before we pray even one time? I'm not saying don't do things in the natural. I'm not saying don't go out there and find solutions. I am saying that sometimes when you instantly rely on the natural, it's because you're having trouble believing that God will give it to you in the supernatural. It's because you have trouble believing that God even listens when you pray. And that's something that needs to change if we want to see real answers to our prayers and real transformation in our life. We have to be able not to just rest on what I can get. I remember I have a tia that says, it's not faith until it's all you've got left. Sometimes we want to exhaust every other option because we're too just blind to see that God wants to be our first option, not our last resort. We often treat prayer and treat God as our last resort. Like, after I've exhausted every other option, now, God, if you want, since I have no other choice, now I'm going to come to you. When in reality, if we really knew who we were as children of God, we'd go to him first. The third thing we see in this woman's life is we see that she misunderstood God's character. That as this man of God was offering her, you know, what can I do for you? What do you want to be done for you? You know, I see that you don't have a son. By this time next year, that miracle is going to be done in her life. The first thing she did was, no, don't make fun of me. Come on, be serious. Be for real. You know, the first thing she did was, let's not even think about that. Why? Because in her mind, it was inconceivable that God would do something good for her. She was able to work for him. She was able to give to him. She was able to, you know, exhaust herself and exhaust her resources to honor him, but she couldn't believe that he would honor her. She couldn't believe that God wanted to pour out blessings on her. And so she took it as una burla. She took it as literally God laughing in her face. And how many times do we read something in the Word of God and we instantly laugh it off? Like, yeah, right. Or we take it and we highlight it and we say amen, but we never actually act on it. We never actually take the time to pray about it. We never actually take the time to commit it to prayer. Why? Because we're scared. Because we don't really know who we are. Because we don't consider ourselves worthy of good things. And here I am to tell you, young women, you may not be worthy of good things, but through Christ, we have become worthy. You may not be worthy because of anything you've done specifically, and neither am I. But through Christ, he makes us worthy. He calls us daughters. The Word of God says, once you were enemies of mine in your sin, but I have reconciled you to the light. That word reconcile means to bring together. He has brought us back into his light. He has brought us back into his kingdom, and he wants us to be able to walk in the supernatural. I said something this weekend in the conference I was preaching at that I truly believe was the Holy Spirit speaking. I said, God doesn't want to heal you one time. God wants to be your healer. God doesn't want to save you one time. God wants to be your savior. And what does that mean? That means that sometimes we think that God is throwing us a bone, and we think of the good things that God has done in the past, but we don't use them as mile markers. We don't use them as proof that God is good and he's going to do something again in the future. But one thing we can see in this woman's story, and if you haven't read this story, then I totally recommend it. It's in 2 Kings chapter 4. Go back and read it, because this woman who at first wasn't able to believe even that she could conceive a child, the craziest thing happens to her and the Lord gives her this child. And then all of a sudden, the story tells us that this child dies in the middle of a field. But this woman who before was too weak in her faith, too weak in her identity, to believe that God could give her anything good, she had changed. And the Lord had expanded and grown her faith. And the word of God says that she takes that child and she puts him up on a bed and she walks directly to the prophet and says, my son has died, but I believe that he can be raised again. And the word of God says that God literally raises that child to life. What do I think is the moral of that story? That God will do with you according to your faith. At first, this woman didn't even have faith to conceive a child, but at the end, she had faith for God to raise him from the dead. And I believe with all my heart that God is going to do the same thing in you. You who are listening today that says, you know what? I can't even believe that God can really forgive me for my sin. I can't really believe that God could even get over my past. I can't even really truly believe that God is there when I call to him. Today, I'm telling you that God is going to raise your faith to such an extent that you're going to be able to believe for greater and greater. That God is going to raise your faith to such an extent that you're going to be able to do things that you never thought were possible. That God is not only going to conceive new dreams in your heart, but he's going to literally resurrect dreams that you've given up on because of your lack of self-worth, maybe your lack of identity. God is going to bring those things back from the dead. So as we pray today, Lord, I ask you that you look inside the heart of every young woman who is listening to me today. I don't know their need. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know what they've been struggling with, but you do, God. I pray that you would see them and that you would expand their faith. I pray that you would see them and that you would bless them with a greater measure of faith, the ability to know that they are your daughters, that they don't need to beg for scraps, Father, but that you have the best bread prepared for them at your table, that they are not second-class citizens, that they don't need to work for your approval. They already have your love, your favor, and your grace, and they can walk in it, and they can serve out of that instead of serving, trying to get that. Father God, I pray that if there's anyone here who has maybe seen it as una burla, seen it as laughable, that they could be blessed, that they could be worthy. I pray, Father, that you would begin to transform their identity in you. I pray that you would begin to show them who they are in you. I pray that you would remove the spirit of slavery and that you would give them a spirit of daughters, God, daughters who can go to their father and ask for good things, daughters who can believe that their father is there waiting to help them. You have told us in your word that we are co-heirs with Christ, that we are the head and not the tail, that you have given us victory, that you can do immeasurably more than we can ask, think, or dream. So I pray, God, that these young women will begin to dream at a greater level, that you would begin to do immeasurably more, and that you would lead them to pray with confidence. Your word says, this is the confidence that we have in you, that anything we ask in your name will be given to us. I pray, God, that you expand and grow their confidence, their faith, their self-worth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Want to remind you guys to stay in the word. The word of God gives you confidence. The word of God will show you what is available to you as a co-heir in Christ. Remember that we have our Maven House 5x5, 5 minutes a day. Get into the word.